Well, good morning.
I
love being down in the mosh pit section for worship. That's the best part of preaching. It's really great to have the people from Challenge back. I remember when I went back in the day when I was young. The time you spent investing in us and you continue to spend is so valuable. And thank you so much, church, for all you've done and how you support these kids. And just, I'm sure they're excited, so listen to their stories and continue to pray for them because it makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance we have to come to meet together and to meet with you. And I pray that as I preach today, that it wouldn't be my words, but that you could speak through me and that your Spirit would take what I say. And if there's anything that I say that isn't of you, that these people wouldn't listen to it. But when your word goes out, that it will be living and active, and that you will redeem that and continue to work in our lives. So I pray for your blessing. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 26. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable reward, but we an imperishable one. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not merely beating the air. Today's subject is about running the race, continuing to persevere as we're on this journey with God. And we, as Christians, are responsible to run this race in such a way that we are worthy of the calling of Christ in our lives. We should persevere. I don't really have much endurance for things. I remember the first year of school, me and Owen would go running sometimes, and I was already worn out by the time I tied my shoes. It was awful. But I think perseverance is something a bit more than just merely endurance. I think it has more aspects than that. So I suppose it would be beneficial to define what it means to persevere. I don't think it simply means to endure, to put up with whatever comes our way with sort of the glass is always half empty, life's just awful sort of attitude. I think perseverance is having the right attitude and the right actions to go along with that. And that leads to the development of other characteristics within us. So the first key component to perseverance is attitude. We can take all the actions we want, but if it's not combined with the right attitudes and the right motivations, I think we'll really miss out on some of the true blessings of life. The attitudes we carry with us and how we approach things informs everything we do. If we carry with us a negative attitude, we could do very, very good things. But I think we'll easily burn out because though our actions are good, our motivations and our responses and our attitude were not completely godly and they weren't completely pure. I think my favorite beatitude is the one about being pure in heart because you get to see God. And I think it's an essential thing to remember in our Christian walk that we would have that sense of being pure in heart, of wanting godly things with a godly attitude. Paul says in Romans that when trials came for him, he could rejoice in them because in those trials, through them was built perseverance. And through perseverance, his character was built and character led to hope. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. No one really knows what it is. There's some speculation, but something about himself he didn't like. And at first he was sort of mad about it and prayed for God to take it away. But eventually, he learned that his thorn in the flesh was a means to display the glory and sufficiency of God all the more. So it's in our trials, in the same way, our trials and our weaknesses, that we can find God. And in those moments, we can see his sufficiency all the more. And we can use them as times of learning and as times of growing. Rather than cursing the bad things that happen, we can rejoice not in the badness, but in the hope that comes from God, because his sufficiency and his sovereignty is enough for us. And his Spirit will continue to work in us, renewing our minds, and helping to carry us along. So attitude, the attitude of having a pure heart, of wanting godly things, is something to remember as you persevere. The second component of perseverance is actions. Perseverance is not merely hanging on and hoping for the best, but rather it is doing our best within our circumstances, or perhaps in spite of our circumstances. We cannot always change what is acting upon us, but we can change how we act in response to it. I think the hardest times to love is when you're like tired and worried and worn out. But as Christians, we are called to love. And that is the motivation behind all of our actions. I think this is a terrible thing to say. Like, I think I actually hated a person at one point, which is awful. Yeah, don't do that. And maybe by world standards, it was understandable. I've been wronged. Others have been wronged. But we do not live by the standards of this world. We live by the standards of God. And His standard is to bless those who curse you. His standard is to love those who hate you, to pray for those who persecute you, and to love your enemies. And I think that's persevering, is continuing to love when it is very hard to do, because that's when it really matters. Along the same lines of our actions, I was thinking about the parable of the talents, which it was a parable Jesus told where there were these servants. There was this master had servants, and he entrusted to each of them a talent, or two talents, or five talents, or what have you. And then he left and said, you know, be responsible, don't party too much. And the wise servants, not only when he came back had those talents that he gave them, but they invested. They multiplied what they had because they were responsible. They were good stewards. They had the right actions. And the irresponsible servant just got scared and didn't do anything because he didn't want to go forward, but he didn't want to go backwards. He didn't want to lose what he had, but he was afraid of what would happen if he tried to expand what he had, to multiply, to grow. And I think a very important part of that parable is that it says that God entrusted the talents to them, each according to his ability. And I think God entrusts certain things to us according to our ability. I think even the small things that we have in life that are our burdens or our responsibilities, they really aren't that small. They've been entrusted to us, and we should be good stewards of the large things and the small things. And I think that sometimes we think, well, no one's really watching us, but sometimes people are. And even if they're not, God certainly is. And he expects us to be good stewards with what we've been entrusted with. I think of Joseph, like, he was doing great at his father's house, then his brothers beat him up and threw him in a pit. Then he did great as a slave, which, I mean, great slave, but he was doing well for himself. His master liked him. But then there was some bad things happened to him, like some lies were told about him, so he got thrown in prison. He did really well there, and then he got taken out of prison. And Pharaoh made him his right-hand man over all of Egypt. Joseph did well wherever he was, and then things would just go really badly. But rather than cursing the badness and cursing God, he realized a season had ended, and all he could do was remain faithful to God. So whether he was successful, but when that success would end, he remained faithful, which counts for a lot more. So I think in that same way, how God is working in our lives might not always be clear. All that we can do is be faithful with what we've been entrusted with and have faith that the God who began a good work in us is going to carry that on to completion, that he's going to walk with us through life. All of our circumstances are different. We all have different responsibilities entrusted to us, and we all have various struggles. But the key to any circumstance is to remember God. Remember that God is present even in the midst of our hardships. Our first response should always be in trials to stay connected to God and stay focused on His kingdom and His glory. Because every valley and every mountain, too, is a chance to draw closer to God and to see him at work. And also, before we can really be of help to others, we need to take care of ourselves and our relationship with God. If we're not connected to God, we can't really be about his business. And sometimes that does mean resting in God, and that there's no obvious course of action to take. You don't have to be volunteering 20 hours a week at a homeless shelter. There is a principle of rest, especially when you're weary. But in a way, that's persevering too, knowing when to heal and when to rest in the presence of the Lord. And it's a witness because you don't curse the circumstances around you, but you stay focused on God. I mean, we're not supposed to go around with pretend smiles, pretending everything's great, grand, and fabulous all the time, because it's often not. However, we can be assured all the time and have a contentment and a peace from God within us. And something I've come to believe is true is through trials and through pain, we can let two things happen. We can let pain turn us bitter, or we can use it to see the glory of God all the more, his sufficiency and his love. You understand grace much more when you have seen what life is sort of like without it. When you come out of the valleys, you see how God sustained you, and you see how to persevere. I think the reason I picked this whole perseverance topic for my sermon, I didn't just open a book and throw it down and topic. And I almost did that. But I think the reason I picked it is because I need to remember what it means to persevere, at least recently. I don't like to make mistakes, which isn't good. It's really bad because I make a lot. Especially when I'm playing Tetris. I don't know what happens, but as they keep falling faster and faster, there's only two buttons. But I forget which one turns the brick which way, and it's a mess. I do feel like I've made a lot of mistakes lately, and life keeps on happening. And the important thing is the past is the past. Learn from it and continue on having learned more, having grown, and knowing that there is hope in the future. There is hope in the Lord, and he is with you. I think one pitfall for me, one personality flaw, is I compare myself to other people far too often. And that's not really a good thing to do. Yes, we should learn from people, and there's a principle of discipleship and mentoring. But at the same time, we are not all exactly the same. God has made us each unique, wonderfully and uniquely made. And our burdens are in that same way unique to us, just like the parable of the talents. Certain things have been entrusted to us according to our abilities. But just because they're different doesn't make them less valid than other people's. We can't fall in the trap of comparing ourselves to this person who does this ministry, but I don't know how to do that because I get scared around teenagers and but I need to be like that person. The person we should try and be like is Jesus Christ. And he has made us all unique with different functions. We are all parts of the body with different purposes, all for the same goal of advancing God's kingdom. And that should be what we're focusing on. Our time on earth is only a moment, and our moment would be better spent focusing on God's kingdom than passing pains and troubles. I like reading C.S. Lewis. Everyone does. But I think he said this, that God whispers in our pleasures but shouts in our pains. And I like that because if we listen, we can't always hear God speaking. But it is when we're in those valleys that we become more aware of our need for God, of how utterly dependent on him we truly are. I was reading about what different people had to say about what it means to persevere. And Oswald Chambers said that perseverance is far more than just endurance. It is endurance, but that endurance is combined with assurance, which I think is true. Endurance means nothing unless it is combined with the assurance of hope. We do have a blessed assurance that is not built upon ourselves, but it is built upon Jesus Christ. And sufferings, tribulations, trials, they all produce perseverance. Perseverance produces our character. And character leads to hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. That's Romans 5, 3 through 5. So through the grace of God, we have access to hope that is stronger than any despair. For no matter where we are, what we're going through, or what we're about to go through, God won't leave us, and he won't forsake us. And I think we should each be mindful not to leave or forsake him. I think in some ways we're like Abraham, like he was a stranger in a strange land. We don't walk through the valleys, through the mountains, through the uncertain places alone. God is with us, and every step we take is one step closer to him, to the home he's preparing for us, where the pure in heart do get to see God. So, until that day when we can be with him forever, we should be about his business whenever we can. I think it would be a great joy to say that I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith, and have our God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because I entrusted you with certain things, and you were good stewards of what was given to you." So, key to perseverance, and probably life, is at the beginning and the end, stay focused on God, and throughout the whole middle too. Stay focused on him, on his kingdom, and his righteousness, because it's all about God. And stay grounded in hope, in that blessed assurance of the hope we have in him. And let God's Spirit influence your attitudes, make them be more like the attitudes of Christ Jesus, of a servant, and let him influence your actions as well. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we do have a blessed assurance of hope in you, that you walk with us through the valleys and through the mountains, that you are our God and you will not leave us or forsake us. I thank you that you give us the strength to persevere through trials and to learn from them and to grow. And I thank you that you give us, that you gave us your Son, and that you give us hope, and that you have shown us love and shown us grace. Help us all to live for you, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.